Hey, you heard Dave Lee a moment ago, one of the legends of WCCR Radio as we celebrate our 100th birthday this fall. The album is available. You can go to the website, find out more. Audio from all those legends, Dave Lee, Boone and Erickson, Steve Cannon, Sid Hartman, you name it. By the way, Dave Lee will be at the fair tomorrow with Pete Najarian, special edition of The Huddle between 10 and noon. So we invite you to come out to the fairgrounds and see Dave and Pete. Once again, Dave Lee, Pete Najarian, The Huddle tomorrow, Dave Schwartz out of town. And they brought in the big guns out of retirement. And Dave Lee tomorrow. Right now it's time to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And, Steve, the heat is on. Boy, we got blazing hot weather coming in over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we do. And, Steve, you know, you're talking about Dave Lee. Dave and I have actually fished together a couple of times, and what a gentleman. What a nice guy.
Yeah, it's as good as it gets. Hall of Famer, and as I mentioned, one of the legends over the years here at CCO Radio. Right now, describe the fishing, if you will, real quickly.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I went up a small river this morning to try something a little different and went up a real skinny river with a small boat and caught a few small walleyes and trying to do something a little different. It's the main lakes are tough. There's no getting around it. It's August, and it's tough to find any walleyes at all, really, has been hard. Getting a few panfish, but did okay this morning. Was kind of an exploratory thing, just try something a little different. But it'll change. You know, I see 70s coming down the road, and you know, we'll start to hit that fall bite. But I'm thinking about doves coming up here in a week. It's that's kind of on my radar right now. That's going to open next weekend. And the early goose season, and it's I'm ready to make the transition. It's time. I do want to tell people, don't forget about the bug spray. When you get out in those wheat fields and those oat fields when you're dove hunting, they can eat you alive. So it's really important you have good bug spray and wear good gloves, too, and keep those mosquitoes off your hands.
Yeah, no doubt protective gear is certainly important in the bug spray. Let's talk a little bit more about the dove opener. This is a challenging hunt, but you've talked about it for years, Steve. This is really a fun hunt as well if you get on the birds.
You know, Steve, this is my favorite type of bird hunting, and it's really a growing sport. And there's a lot of doves out there. I mean, there's millions of them, and they're very prolific, and our season is usually fairly short, and the problem is, you know, getting those cold nights. They are a very early migrant, and you have about 2, maybe 3 weeks. And once that cold weather hits, just one cold night, they go south, and they're in New Mexico in a couple of days. But right away, you want to get at them right away. Opens up September 1, and I'm really looking forward to it. Just try to find a wheat field, oats, milo, any type of grain. And, you know, do a little scouting to find that. You know, we're in the land of corn and beans up here, and potatoes, actually, so it's kind of tough to find grain fields. But if you can find one and the goose hunters aren't on it, you'll get your doves. And I tell you, on the table, nothing better than a dove. It's got dark meat, white meat. They're small, but they're just succulent on the grill and tremendous eating. And you know, they eat a lot of seeds and wheat seeds, and you know, you are what you eat, and they're just awesome on the grill.
Yeah, and Steve, this is one of the things you brought up, depending on what type of hunting you do, getting to know landowners, asking for permission early, don't walk up, you know, the day of the hunt and try and get on the land. It is about creating relationships, and it is working with these landowners. And if you're respectful and work in advance, many times landowners will give you access to their property.
You know, it's funny, Steve, a lot of landowners don't even know there's a dove season. And, you know, I do a lot of door knocking, and I've been doing that for 50 years. And again, like you say, if you're polite, respectful, getting on to dove hunting is not a problem. Most everybody lets you on. But it's really a growing sport, and I'll tell you, they are tough to hit. Those doves can fly up to 60 miles an hour, and this is not like a pheasant or a duck. you have to lead them at least 6 or 7 feet. And that's the hard part for people to really get the hang of that, because, you know, with waterfowl and pheasants, you lead them maybe a body length or two, but these doves, you got to get way ahead of them because they're so fast and they are small, but, you know, they dip and dive, and they're just amazing acrobats, and especially when they come into decoys, that's about as exciting as it gets.
Well, Steve, good luck. We'll visit with you in a week. Any plans this week as you get ready for the dove hunt? Are you going to be out on the water at all?
You know, I'm not sure. It's so darn hot. I've been trying to get out early in the morning, which is okay till about 10, 10:30. But, yeah, I'm going to be prepping for the doves and a little bit of fishing. So trying to stick to early mornings and maybe take a nap in the afternoon. That's the ticket.
Well, and you know what's funny? I work with a few guys that are already dreaming about that fall bite when the lakes are empty and they have the waters to themselves.
Oh, that's, you know, anglers just don't understand the best fishing of the year. It's even better in the spring, but it's been getting later and later every year, Steve. It's, you know, it used to be September 1, it would kind of start, but now it's more like in the middle of October or the end of October. But then that fishing, when it starts about the 15th of October, it'll be lights out until, you know, ice up. So you don't want to put your boat away too early. That's a big mistake. I mean, some of the best fishing is right through November. So really looking forward to that. And the bite will be back. It's just not happening right now, but it will be.
All right, Steve, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the time.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a great fair.
Steve Kearney joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline each and every Saturday for years here on CCO. And remember, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday from 5 to 6 with Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News. Once again, that's Rob. Great show every Sunday between 5 and 6. Sports schedules permitting, of course, if the Twins run late. Sometimes he gets bumped, but we should be in good shape tomorrow with a matinee at Target Field. Twins and Cardinals tonight on the radio. Our pregame lineup card comes your way at 5:30 today. Around the corner, a DNR guest will join us here live at the fair. Karen Harrison, State Wildfire Prevention Specialist, will join us here. News Talk, 830-WCCO. CCO is at the fair. We've been in the same spot since the mid-50s. Now, the booth has been remodeled a lot over the years, but it was like 1955, I've heard. I wasn't around for it, but when CCO located this spot on the fairgrounds. And we're right next to Sweet Martha's Cookie Jar on Carnes Avenue. French Meadows across the street. Mancini's nearby. Just down the hill from you, Old Mill. And joining us from the DNR, our neighbors to the west with the big campus here on the fairgrounds, Karen Harrison, State Wildfire Prevention Specialist, joins us from the DNR. Karen, good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, good to visit with you. And wildfire. It was nerve-wracking this spring, wasn't it? Because we had such a mild winter, hardly any snow cover, and spring can be a challenging time before vegetation starts to grow, etc.
Yeah, spring is our largest wildfire season. It's often a surprise to most people. They think summer is wildfire season, but that's true out west, but not here in Minnesota. And going into the winter, we were also still experiencing a lot of drought conditions. So without that snow cover and the amount of precipitation that we usually get in the winter, our season started really early. It started in February. We started seeing wildfire activity across the whole state, which is also a little unusual this year. Typically, we have it in the southern part of Minnesota, and it kind of that activity moves north as the snow recedes. Not the case this year.
Yeah, it's just such a weird spring. How did we get through that danger zone, if you will? Was it a bad year this spring?
Well, I would say February and March were above average. The number of wildfires we were seeing and experiencing, especially in early March, really high compared to normal. Once we got into April, though, we started having precipitation and then more precipitation, and that's continued across the summer. So right now, we're sitting in a really good spot. The drought conditions are completely gone across the state, and we have had low fire danger primarily across the summer.
So that is good news. And if we have a normal autumn and go into a normal winter with snow cover, etc., that's ideal. And what we've seen, if you believe in the old Farmer's Almanac, that we might get a real winter again coming up, that we could see some snow, a lot of snow, and our share of cold as well. And that would be good when it comes to wildfire, wouldn't it?
Definitely. In fall is our second highest season. Yeah. So once that vegetation dries out, we have our first freeze, then we see that uptick in wildfire activity in the fall. So getting the snow, great for us.
Yeah, and it is that time of year with various hunting seasons underway. Deer camp, of course. People can be having fires, and it can be dry. And just those simple reminders to properly manage fire when you're out in the woods or wherever you are.
Yeah, you know, in Minnesota, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by people. So it's a really high number, and often it's unintentional. So there's very simple steps people can follow. First and foremost, build a safe campfire and supervise it the whole time. We want to keep your eyes on the fire. And before you leave a fire, make sure it's out cold. If it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave. Drown with water, stir, and repeat until it's out cold.
And those are tips that we've heard for a long time from our old friend Smokey Bear. 80 years of,
yes,
Smokey Bear.
We celebrated,
I mean, I remember it as a kid. I mean,
he's a part of the longest-running public service announcement in American history. So 80 years, a really big milestone.
Do you know how that started or where that came from? Or, I mean, I know the DNR has been very active here in the state of Minnesota, but how did that campaign get going?
Yeah, in 1944 is when the Smokey Bear kind of first was realized. And it's cool. From the U.S. Forest Service, the Ad Council, and the National Association of State Foresters. They all work together for kind of Smokey Bear. And so in 1944 is when he first came on the scene. And in 1950 is when a small bear cub was rescued from a wildfire in New Mexico. He burned his paws in the fire. He was rescued. They didn't see his mother. And that became the live Smokey Bear representation. So he was given to the U.S. Forest Service to kind of become Smokey Bear. He was flown out to Washington, D.C., where he lived the rest of his life in the zoo there. And he had his own postal code. So besides the president, the only thing that has its own postal code, he got so much mail and continues to get mail.
That's cool. That is a great story, but it is a reminder. And even though we've had a good summer and things are looking good going into the fall for wildfires here in Minnesota, we see the remnants of wildfires out west or particularly up in Canada. And I'm sure that's something you monitor as well in your job. I know the Weather Service does a good job of air alerts, etc., but it is a reminder. In other parts of the country, this is very serious business.
Yeah, you know, and even when we have low fire danger here in Minnesota, it's still really important because fires can still happen. But yes, when, you know, right now out west is their high fire season. And so number one always for us is to protect Minnesota and protect the people and communities here and our great natural resources. But secondly, we want to help those around us. So our neighboring communities in Michigan, Wisconsin, Manitoba, and Ontario through the Great Lakes Forest Fire Compact. So we have a couple of crews up there in Manitoba right now.
Wow.
And then we go to expand nationally. If we have the resources, we want to be able to assist other states, just like they come and assist us when we have high fire danger. So we have mobilized over 300 people to go and help out west as well.
How many firefighters are there, and do they all work for the DNR? I mean, I know it's a big number, but, I mean, is there a big crew that work full-time for the DNR?
Well, you know, almost all of our staff in the Division of Forestry does something to support our wildland fire.
Okay.
And so that, you know, probably close to 700 at the DNR just in the Division of Forestry. But we have other staff, too, in Fish and Wildlife and Parks and Trails that also are trained in to help with wildland fires. And we have our federal agencies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, along with our tribal agencies, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and Homeland Security. We all work together through the Minnesota Incident Command System up in Grand Rapids. They work together to coordinate the efforts across Minnesota.
Now, people can see here on the fairgrounds old school fire spotting and the tower itself. That's still a big draw out here. And as I learned, I think a year ago from you when you stopped by the fair or one of your colleagues, that they really aren't used in that way anymore. Once upon a time, those towers were important. There would be someone up there looking for fires. Not really the case anymore, but it's still pretty cool to check out.
Yeah, I mean, you still get a great bird's eye view of the fair here, or climb one of the other ones that's open to the public. We have five state parks that have fire towers that are open, and it's a great view. And it also offers a little glimpse into the history of wildland fire here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I remember climbing one on Quadna Mountain up in the Hill City area and getting the view up there, and it's pretty spectacular. How are fires detected now? Or if there's a lightning strike, or as you said, more times than not, it's started by human error.
Yes.
How are those spotted? How are those detected?
Yeah, right now, primarily we use aerial detection. So we have planes that go up and look for smoke, just like we would have looked for smoke from the fire towers. But primarily aerial detection. We do still use fire towers occasionally when fire danger is really high, or if planes can't fly for some reason.
Yeah, amazing work. Now, you're at the fair. You have a lot of colleagues. Of course, the wildly popular fish pond. People can check out the tower. There's a lot of things to do. And what's great about it is it's staffed by folks from the DNR, and you do this day in, day out. It's your full-time job, and you're happy to answer questions, aren't you?
Definitely, yeah. You can come up to any of us at the DNR grounds, our volunteers included. We have a great volunteer base that help us at the fair, and we're happy to answer questions for any of the divisions or direct you to someone who knows the answer.
All right, well, what we're looking for is a good, normal autumn ease into winter. If we get some snow and cold this winter, that's okay. That's good when it comes to wildfires.
Yes, that's good. If you do plan to burn and it's going to be larger than 3 feet by 3 feet, go get your burning permit and check fire danger before you burn.
Yeah, and beyond 3 foot by 3 foot and that permit, is that state law? Or is that depend county to county? How does that?
Yeah, so it is across the state.
Okay.
It is somewhat county by county. In the southeast, some of our counties are managed by the local governing agencies there. We have it listed on our website, though, so people can go and check if they're not sure who to reach out to. The rest of the state is through the DNR for a birding permit, but otherwise go through your county.
Well, Karen, thanks so much for the time today.
Yes, good to thanks visit for having
with you. Me. Once again, Karen Harrison, State Wildfire Prevention Specialist. And, of course, Karen, along with all these other great folks from the DNR at the exhibit smack dab in the middle of the fairgrounds. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have an update on the weather in a moment, including heat concerns Sunday and Monday here in the Twin Cities metro area. We'll have that advisory for you in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. We continue from the fairgrounds, and pleased to be joined by Maria Hayden, spokesperson with the Minnesota State Fair. Maria, good to visit with you, and thanks for joining us. And I understand Thursday and Friday attendance records have been set.
Yeah, so opening day, Thursday, August 22nd, we set our attendance record for opening day. We beat the following record by about 3,000 people. So it's exciting to see people are excited to be out here, especially on opening day and our opening weekend. And the fun kind of just continued into Friday. We've been fortunate to have some pretty good weather the first couple days, which in an outdoor event, that's very important to who shows up. And so we, you know, hope that continues, and we hope people continue to have a good time out here for the rest of the fair.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I've been sitting in this spot for a lot of years on Saturdays and Sundays, and today's another big day. Now, I can't predict a record, but another big day. It was very busy this morning, and there's some new attractions every year at the fair, and that's what makes it great. And I've told my kids about this for a long time, because I first came to the state fair when I was 4 or 5 years old. That's my first memory of the fairground. And the grandstand's still there, and the horticulture building, and the giant slide. But there's been new things around that. And that's what I think makes the fair unique, the old and the new. And there's some really cool new things. And that's a big thing the state fair tries to do, is keep new stuff every year.
Exactly, yeah. We want to make sure there's a reason for you to come back year after year. So we know there are a lot of traditions that people love, and that's one of the great parts of the fair, is you get to come back year after year, and, you know, things that were around when you were a kid are still here now. So we continue to cherish those traditions and just kind of trying to build upon them, and every year introduce just a couple new things to keep people interested and continue the growth of the fair and continue over time. So one of the new things this year is, in 2019, we built our North End Event Center up on the north end of the fairgrounds, and every year since, we've had a rotating exhibit in that building up there. So it's a really nice, beautiful exhibit hall, air-conditioned, which is good on hot weekends like this. But this year, we have Cats and Dogs, the exhibition. It's a traveling exhibit. It's educational. It's about our furry friends, so you get to go inside the minds of cats and dogs, learn a little bit about how they move, how they think, how they behave. So we like to introduce things like that, just to get people something to look forward to, something new to check out. They can do their traditions, get their favorite fair foods, but then also be able to experience and learn something new every year.
And Maria, you have to admit, in your business as a spokesperson, nothing moves the meter like the new foods and beverages.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of media attention leading up to the fair and then at the start of the fair is incredible. And one of the things, my daughter, who was with me this morning, we made a beeline to the deep-fried ranch dressing, and the line already was insane.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. New foods is just something, I mean, obviously, food is a big part of the fair.
Yeah.
We know that's what, you know, a lot of people look forward to, revisiting favorites or trying new things. Like, the deep fried ranch has certainly got a lot of buzz, even on a national level, we've seen. So it's always exciting every year to kind of see what people grasp onto and what kind of becomes a new fair tradition for people. So the last couple of years, we've had some really great hits with people that have continued, they've continued to come back and love, like the pickle pizza from Rick's Pizza north, and the Peachy's Donuts, the Amish donuts that were introduced last year, really saw great success. So sounds like Deep Fried Ranch is kind of headed in that same direction this year. And we always love to see how our vendors can continue to innovate, whether they're new vendors coming in, providing a brand new offering to the fair, or if they're existing vendors like Lulu's creating new products that'll keep guests engaged and give them something new to try out and be excited about every year.
Well, in your job, that's got to be a lot of fun, because that story in itself, the new foods, I mean, that's kind of like, yes, the fair is coming up, here they are, the papers do, TV, radio, everybody gets involved and throwing their opinions out. So in your work, that it's got to be a huge moment.
Absolutely. New foods is by far our biggest announcement of the year. We spend months preparing for it, and I know the vendors spend even longer. I mean, I'm sure some of them are thinking about what they want to try to submit next year. So it really is a year-round effort to get ready for these 12 days and make sure the nearly 2 million people that visit us every year have something to look forward to, have something to be excited about, and have something to enjoy when they're here at the fair.
And that's one of the things we talked about when we sampled the deep fried ranch dressing. And like I say, it was pretty good. I was very surprised. But the vendors have to be prepared if it's a hit or if people are like, yeah. You know, and I suppose you warn them about that not everything is going to be Sweet Martha's cookie jar, for instance.
Yeah, well, I think we do a good job of trying to kind of, especially with new vendors,
introduce
them at a scale that's consumable for their operation. So have them have a couple core offerings and then see how their first year goes and continue to build on their operation. So it's like Sweet Martha's didn't debut with 3 locations at the fair or with, you know, a big permanent stand. She debuted with a little trailer here on the fairgrounds just selling cookies. So it's really year after year, and that's the great thing about the fair being an annual event, is you have all that time to prepare for the following year and just see how you can continue to grow and improve your operation, both for the fair and for all of our vendors out here. So we hope to improve year after year for all our fair guests.
Yeah, it is really cool, and people ask me about it, and I say, you know, I remember the Prono Pups as a kid and the Tom Thumb Mini Donuts on the other side of Ye Olde Mill, and those are two standbys for me. So there's the old standbys and the new stuff, and that's what makes the fair fun. The grandstand's another big part of it. The grandstand in the heart of the fairgrounds, a lot of legendary acts. Let's talk about the acts coming up at the grandstand. Are tickets available for some of these shows?
Yes, we do have tickets available for quite a few shows. So if people are interested in seeing a show at the historic grandstand building this year, our full lineup, all our ticket information is either available on the grounds. If you're just walking around enjoying your fair day, you can stop by the Grandstand Plaza and check out what shows are on sale. But we've got some really exciting shows coming up. We've got Blake Shelton tomorrow night. We've got John Party coming later this week. We've got Motley Crue. We've got Kids Bop on Labor Day if you're looking for something to do with the kids. So it's a really great, diverse lineup. We had Latin music with Becky G at the fair opening day, Chance the Rapper last night. So there's something for everyone to enjoy, and outdoor concert season is just the best. So even if
we continue from the fairgrounds, and pleased to be joined by Maria Hayden, spokesperson with the Minnesota State Fair. Maria, good to visit with you, and thanks for joining us. And I understand Thursday and Friday, attendance records have been set.
Yeah, so opening day, Thursday, August 22nd, we set our attendance record for opening day. We beat the following record by about 3,000 people. So it's exciting to see people are excited to be out here, especially on opening day and our opening weekend. And the fun kind of just continued into Friday. We've been fortunate to have some pretty good weather the first couple days, which in an outdoor event, that's very important to who shows up. And so we, you know, hope that continues, and we hope people continue to have a good time out here for the rest of the fair.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun. I've been sitting in this spot for a lot of years on Saturdays and Sundays, and today's another big day. Now, I can't predict the record, but another big day. It was very busy this morning, and there's some new attractions every year at the fair, and that's what makes it great. And I've told my kids about this for a long time, because I first came to the state fair when I was 4 or 5 years old. That's my first memory of the fairground. And the grandstand's still there, and the horticulture building, and the giant slide. But there's been new things around that. And that's what I think makes the fair unique, the old and the new. And there's some really cool new things. And that's a big thing the state fair tries to do, is keep new stuff every year.
Exactly, yeah. We want to make sure there's a reason for you to come back year after year. So we know there are a lot of traditions that people love, and that's one of the great parts of the fair, is you get to come back year after year, and, you know, things that were around when you were a kid are still here now. So we continue to cherish those traditions and just kind of trying to build upon them, and every year introduce just a couple new things to keep people interested and continue the growth of the fair and continue over time. So one of the new things this year is in 2019, we built our North End Event Center up on the north end of the fairgrounds, and every year since, we've had a rotating exhibit in that building up there. So it's a really nice, beautiful exhibit hall, air-conditioned, which is good on hot weekends like this. But this year, we have Cats and Dogs, the exhibition. It's a traveling exhibit. It's educational. It's about our furry friends, so you get to go inside the minds of cats and dogs, learn a little bit about how they move, how they think, how they behave. So we like to introduce things like that just to give people something to look forward to, something new to check out. They can do their traditions, get their favorite fair foods, but then also be able to experience and learn something new every year.
And Maria, you have to admit, in your business as a spokesperson, nothing moves the meter like the new foods and beverages.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of media attention leading up to the fair and then at the start of the fair is incredible. And one of the things, my daughter, who was with me this morning, we made a beeline to the deep-fried ranch dressing, and the line already was insane.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. New foods is just something, I mean, obviously food is a big part of the fair.
Yeah.
We know that's what, you know, a lot of people look forward to, revisiting favorites or trying new things. Like the deep fried ranch has certainly got a lot of buzz, even on a national level we've seen. So it's always exciting every year to kind of see what people grasp onto and what kind of becomes a new fair tradition for people. So the last couple of years we've had some really great hits with people that have continued to come back and love, like the pickle pizza from Rick's Pizza north, and the Peachy's Donuts, the Amish donuts that were introduced last year really saw great success. So sounds like Deep Fried Ranch is kind of headed in that same direction this year. And we always love to see how our vendors can continue to innovate, whether they're new vendors coming in, providing a brand new offering to the fair, or if they're existing vendors like Lulu's creating new products that'll keep guests engaged and give them something new to try out and be excited about every year.
Well, in your job, that's got to be a lot of fun, because that story in itself, the new foods, I mean, that's kind of like, yes, the fair is coming up, here they are, the papers do, TV, radio, everybody gets involved and throwing their opinions out. So in your work, that it's got to be a huge moment.
Absolutely. New foods is by far our biggest announcement of the year. We spend months preparing for it, and I know the vendors spend even longer. I mean, I'm sure some of them are thinking about what they want to try to submit next year. So it really is a year-round effort to get ready for these 12 days and make sure the nearly 2 million people that visit us every year have something to look forward to, have something to be excited about, and have something to enjoy when they're here at the fair.
And that's one of the things we talked about when we sampled the deep fried ranch dressing. And like I say, it was pretty good. I was very surprised. But the vendors have to be prepared if it's a hit or if people are like, yeah. You know, and I suppose you warn them about that not everything is going to be Sweet Martha's cookie jar, for instance.
Yeah, well, I think we do a good job of trying to kind of, especially with new vendors, introduce them at a scale that's consumable for their operation. So have them have a couple core offerings and then see how their first year goes and continue to build on their operation. So it's like Sweet Martha's didn't debut with three locations at the fair or with, you know, a big permanent stand. She debuted with a little trailer here on the fairgrounds just selling cookies. So it's really year after year, and that's the great thing about the fair being an annual event, is you have all that time to prepare for the following year and just see how you can continue to grow and improve your operation, both for the fair and for all of our vendors out here. So we hope to improve year after year for all our fair guests.
Yeah, it is really cool, and people ask me about it, and I say, you know, I remember the Prono Pups as a kid and the mini donuts on the other side of Ye Olde Mill, and those are two standbys for me. So there's the old standbys and the new stuff, and that's what makes the fair fun. The grandstand's another big part of it. The grandstand in the heart of the fairgrounds, a lot of legendary acts. Let's talk about the acts coming up at the grandstand. Are tickets available for some of these shows?
Yes, we do have tickets available for quite a few shows. So if people are interested in seeing a show at the historic grandstand building this year, our full lineup, all our ticket information is either available on the grounds. If you're just walking around enjoying your fair day, you can stop by the Grandstand Plaza and check out what shows are on sale. But we've got some really exciting shows coming up. We've got Blake Shelton tomorrow night. We've got John Party coming later this week. We've got Motley Crue. We've got Kids Bop on Labor Day if you're looking for something to do with the kids. So it's a really great, diverse lineup. We had Latin music with Becky G at the fair opening day, Chance the Rapper last night. So there's something for everyone to enjoy, and outdoor concert season is just the best. So even if you just want to enjoy a beer and enjoy some live music, it's really a phenomenal experience to be able to see a show there.
Maria Hayden joining us, spokesperson with the Minnesota State Fair, good enough to join us here on the first Saturday of the fair. I think one of the more underrated grandstand shows is the talent show. The talent show finalists. These people are so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a great show people can take in at the grandstand.
Yeah, the amateur talent contest finals are always kind of a highlight of the grandstand series every year. It's always the second Sunday night, and it's at 7:30 p.m., and it's free. which is great. And it's not just all singers or all dancers. It's really a wide variety of talent. I mean, we have people of all ages being able to show off their skills in a venue where, you know, legends get to perform. So it's a great experience for the competitors and also, you know, for the fair guests. If that's maybe something you're curious about, it's completely free. You can go in and support some really, you know, great local talent and see kind of a wide variety of acts. I know last year we had an opera singer take the cake. The year before we had a piano player. So it's always kind of a different lineup every year of what to expect, and there's always something exciting and always something new to see. So that is definitely one I recommend for people to check out if they're just, you know, looking for a great grandstand experience and want to be able to see it for free. So
yeah, fun show for sure. Finally, about getting to the fair, and that's changed over the years. Mm-hmm. Transit's still a big part of it, and it's a great way to get to the fair. There's no doubt about it. There are parking options around the fairgrounds, etc., but public transit, really the way to go.
Absolutely. I mean, every time when I talk to people and they know I work at the fair, they say, what are your tips? What are your, you know, secrets for coming to the fair? And I always tell them, please take the bus. That is going to make your experience that much smoother. We have more than 30 different free park and ride locations a short distance from the fairgrounds. So you're able to park there, ride to the fair for free, not have to worry about waiting for a parking spot, paying for parking. And then we also have some express bus locations. So maybe if you're coming out from the suburbs and you want a quick trip to the fair for a low price, it's about $5 or $6 round trip from our different transit partner providers, and makes it a really efficient way to get to the fair and helps you have to or it helps you avoid having to, you know, have to pay for parking or wait for parking or find parking. It's something that I encourage everyone to do and plan ahead in that way when they're planning their fair day.
Yeah, in all my visits to the fair to work here at CCO Radio, I have a bit of anxiety about it. Am I going to get into the lot in time to, you know, so avoid the anxiety and take transit. And people can find that out at the State Fair website. And once again, if they're not familiar, what's the website? All the info is there.
Yep, mnstatefair.org. It's a great place to see all of the information about the fair. We've also got a brand new app this year called the Official Minnesota State Fair App. That's a super simple, intuitive platform. You can just kind of click to get to a lot of the quick information you need. So free to download, Apple App Store and Google Play Store if people are looking for a mobile way to plan their fair visit as well.
And a very well done app, by the way. Maria, good to visit with you. Thanks so much for joining us here at the State Fair.
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve, for having me.
Yeah, Maria Hayden, the State Fair spokesperson, joining us. Quick break. We'll come back. Twins didn't get it done Friday night against the Cardinals. Game 2 coming up tonight. Our lineup card begins at 5:30. So we'll talk Twins in more detail on the way here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We are here at the fair. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Susie Jones. And then the Sports Huddle, Pete Najarian and Dave Lee. Dave Schwartz has the day off. Dave Lee out of retirement. We'll join Pete Najarian for the huddle here at the fair between 10 and noon tomorrow. Twins and Cardinals, game 2 of the 3-game set coming up tonight at Target Field. Cardinals won game 1 on Friday night, 6-1. Twins grabbed an early 1-0 lead in the ballgame.
The first pitch to Martin is a slow roller towards third. Arenado, bare hand, throws to first, and he doesn't quite get there in time. Martin legs it out, and a run scores. It's 1-0 Twins.
And the Cardinals finally tied it up, top of the third inning at 1-1, and then grabbed the lead and never looked back in the fourth.
Line down a right field line. That's going to score two. That's off the bat of Nootbaar. He's going to get into second base with a double, and the Cardinals now lead 3-1.
And they'd go on to win it 6-1. Same two teams tonight. Once again, our lineup card begins at 5:30. And how about this? Old friend Sonny Gray for the Redbirds, Pablo Lopez for the Twins. Once again, lineup card at 5:30. We'll have much more on the Twins coming up following the news and weather. Bobby Nightingale joins from the Star Tribune. We'll have a look at the Major League scoreboard, the standings, sneak peek at the lineup behind Pablo tonight. It's all on the way here on News Talk, 830-WCCO from the fair. We are here at the fair. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll be back tomorrow morning, Susie Jones, and then the Sports Huddle, Pete Najarian and Dave Lee. Dave Schwartz has the day off. Dave Lee out of retirement. We'll join Pete Najarian for the huddle here at the fair between 10 and noon tomorrow. Twins and Cardinals, game two of the three-game set coming up tonight at Target Field. Cardinals won game one on Friday night, 6-1. Twins grabbed an early 1-0 lead in the ballgame.
The first pitch to Martin is a slow roller towards third. Arenado, bare hand, throws to first, and he doesn't quite get there in time. Martin legs it out, and a run scores. It's 1-0 Twins.
And the Cardinals finally tied it up, top of the third inning at 1-1, and then grabbed the lead, never looked back in the fourth.
Line down the right field line, that's going to score two. That's off the bat of Nootbaar. He's going to get into second base with a double, and the Cardinals now lead 3-1.
And they'd go on to win it 6-1, same two teams tonight. Once again, our lineup card begins at 5:30. And how about this? Old friend Sonny Gray for the Redbirds, Pablo Lopez for the Twins. Once again, lineup card at 5:30. We'll have much more on the Twins coming up following the news and weather. Bobby Nightingale joins from the Star Tribune. We'll have a look at the Major League scoreboard, the standings, sneak peek at the lineup behind Pablo tonight. It's all on the way here on News Talk 830 WCCO from the fair.